fighting for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
More than Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and getting the truth to us.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. We'll get to Terry from State College in a minute. We'll get to our guest in a minute as well. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream.
I hear you're going to be down there at the St. Vincent de Paul, huh? You're not going to be in the dunk tank. I would have come down if you were.
You're going to be in the dunk tank. We need some celebrities. We're going to be at Terry, please sit down. Terry, sit down. You're a guest here. Thank you. What was I going to say? No, we're going to be at Bishop Kelly from 12 to 6 tomorrow. I'll be there around 3, but it's a great cause. The St. Vincent de Paul Society does wonderful work. Plus, the reverse raffle where you can win, was it $15,000 or a new car?
Well, I may just come down there and keep you company for a little bit.
Please do. I guess there's some good barbecue, so.
Oh, that'd be good stuff.
That'll be good. You can help me. Have you ever hosted a reverse raffle?
No, I've seen a reverse economy, but not a reverse raffle.
Well, then you can you can co-host it with me. And yeah, maybe you can sell some Tea Party Bob merchandise.
No, I'm out of that business.
Oh, boy.
You know, I wanted to talk about the unemployment rate being down to 6.3%.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, you know, that's why I'm unemployed, right?
Exactly.
You got to be kidding us with this unemployment rate. It's a real joke. You know, go to any of the 24% of the college students that think the unemployment rate is 6.3%, and they'll let you know that it's not 6.3%. You know, we literally have millions of Americans that have given up looking for a job. You know, that's why we have the numbers we have. The underemployment rate, however, is double. I mean, even here in Idaho, we have an underemployment rate of 10.5%, which means people have to work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. But our unemployment rate is 5.4%. Those are not good numbers. Now, how can you grow an economy when a manufacturing base that we used to have has left the country for cheaper labor and less regulations? Do we really encourage economic growth when we write huge amounts of regulations each and every year and inhibit companies from creating new jobs in our country? Just a couple of years ago, Intel wanted to build a new plant up in the Northwest, and the chairman said they couldn't build it in the U.S. because it would cost over $1 billion more than to build it overseas. This is what's killing us. We got a Senate that's trying to pass a minimum wage bill at $10.10 an hour. We got Obamacare, which is going to cost employers billions more to comply with the regulations. You got an EPA that's infringing on every part of our lives. Farmers that are supposed to pay for their cows' flagellation and then take care of the controlling the dust when they plow the fields. You got a coal industry that's going out of business because of air quality regulations. You got the Fundies and the Haids that are getting the land taken by the BLM. Where does this stop?
You're bringing me down.
I mean, you know, Idaho can't get out of their own way. A governor talks about creating new jobs in Idaho, but all we get are call centers and Chobani yogurt paying $12.50 an hour. Why is it from 1999 to 2006 our GDP here in Idaho grew by almost $18 billion in the last 7.5 years? It only grew at $6 billion. Get government out of the way, and we will create jobs.
All right. Thank you, Tea Party Bob. Jump State Patriot, new issue just out.
Take care, buddy.
All right. We go from Tea Party Bob to Solar Jim at 580KIDO. Hello, Solar Jim.
Oh, good morning, Kevin. Nice to hear you. I'll look for you tomorrow. Bishop Kelly is sort of next door to where I live, and I'll wander over there around 3 as well.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Are you done pouring yourself coffee, Terry? I mean, come on, quit being so rude here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, this guy just shows up here. We have no security in this building.
Well, I wanted to make people aware.
You don't care about not having security? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get to your talking points. You know, we have a guest here who wants to talk about something very important, and all we've got is your talking points, Tea Party Bob and Terry pouring coffee.
Well, what kind of security do you think you need?
Well, we need a lot of security. I need some guys from the Bundy Ranch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you need. Plus, is that a gun-free zone, by the way? You know, they need.
I can't disclose that.
They need lots of security because they can't keep gun-free zones gun-free.
All right, anyway. Solar Jim, I'm getting distracted here.
Yes. So let me tell you what people have not been talking about with regard to Clive and Bundy's the misinterpretation of his quote-unquote racist comments. You'll recall you were at Idaho Chooses Life banquet a couple of months ago, and we had an absolute outstanding speaker, Star Parker. And I went out there early because I wanted to meet her, and I actually got to meet her and talk with her for 4 or 5 minutes. She wrote an outstanding book called Uncle Sam's Plantation. And I'm telling you, it is an outstanding read. And for those who don't know...
Wait a minute. Come on. Now, come on,
what?
Solar Jim. We've gone from Tom Munns promoting his platforms to Tea Party Bob promoting the Tea Party Bob economic newsletter to you promoting Star Parker.
This ain't
the Oprah Club.
All right. Let me just put it this way.
Oh, my goodness.
I won't mention her name again.
No, it's fine, but we got to get going here. What do you got? People are tuning in and out. This is my livelihood. I'm serious. I make my living on compelling content, and Star Parker's book review ain't cutting it. With all due respect, why is my voice getting so high? Wait. That's Sleep Country.
Have you considered a high-paying acting job? You're doing great right now.
I got issues.
Anyway, the educational point is that Uncle Sam's various welfare food stamps, where we just pay people to do nothing, is an absolutely horrific program where we are destroying more lives than we are helping.
All right, Solar Jim.
That
was a hint. It's time to go.
All right, very good, Kevin. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All started with Terry goofing off. All right, joining us now, Cynthia Young Fackrell, author of Gravity's Embrace, a true unsolved mystery surrounding an Alaskan pilot. Thank you for being so patient with us.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks.
So talk a little bit about what brings you here and this great book that you've written.
Well, I just want to get the message out. It's about my brother, a true personal story about my brother who was piloting his own plane in Alaska when he went missing for 10 months. And he did not survive, but his plane was found burned and he had crashed. It was found by two hikers. So, I understand what it's like to have somebody missing in your life. So we spent 10 months searching to find any clue. And actually, there was not much of anything. There was actually another plane missing at the same time. So there were two in the search. But 2 weeks of searching, and then they're like, okay, you're on your own. So then we had to continue ourselves.
So when you hear the story about the Malaysian airliners disappearing, what goes on in your mind? Does that bring the memories back?
Oh, yeah. I feel for the families big time. It's such a... I was thinking about it, and I came up with two thoughts. And first of all, you're paralyzed by disbelief. And second, you're driven by urgency.
Well, let's delve into that. When you first got the message that your brother was missing, what was that like? What was that day like?
It was a number of days. I actually was the last one to see him. I sent him on his way, took him to his plane, and I watched him fly off and was hoping that he said if the weather was bad, he would come back and he would give me a call. But I never received the call. So it was about 3 days waiting for him, calling my older brother who lives in Homer, which he was flying from North Pole, which is out of Fairbanks, to Homer, which is about 600 miles. So he, I was calling my older brother saying, is he there yet? Is he there yet? And he's like, no. So he left on a Friday afternoon. By Sunday night, I was like, I'm going to start a search. I don't know what's happened to him. He might be angry with me if he's stuck somewhere, but no word, so you got to do something. So, yeah, I wrote in the book how I went to bed that night knowing I'd started something big and didn't know where I was going to go from there. But
well, again, gravity's embrace. Let's talk a little bit about the emotions of dealing with the loss.
Oh, the emotions are all over the place. Mostly it's shock. It's like, how could this be happening to me? It's like, you read about it just like everybody else says it has a tragedy. You read about other people it happening to them, but then it's you. So it's like, it's always somebody else, but then meet somebody, you're somebody else, that it's somebody else. And it is very emotional, but like I said, you're kind of numb at the time too, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. And for us, it was kind of like the Malaysian airliner, that you go to the authorities. You're trying to get somebody to help you to know what direction to go in. And since I'd never had it happen to me, who do I talk to? So I originally called, I believe, was the FAA, and they initiate the search. So, yeah, it's not a fun scenario to be in at all.
Well, what did you learn?
What did I learn in regards to
this experience?
Well, I've had a lot of death in my life, and in reading this or writing this book, I came to the realization that that was a lesson for me, and to learn that goodbyes lead to new hellos. I would not be here talking to you today had I not had this experience and all the other experiences in my life.
Well, again, it's great that you're getting your message out, but I mean, the first 5 minutes, you got Tea Party Bob, you got Solar Jim, you got Terry over here, who knows what he's doing. So hopefully we can ramp up that experience. But tell us a little bit more about appreciating life. Has this experience caused you to not take life for granted? I'm not saying you did beforehand, but we always hear from people that life is so precious.
Well, I'll tell you what. My father came up that summer to continue the search on his own because we were left as a family to figure this mystery out ourselves. So when he came up, he spent all his time. He was completely consumed with this search. Now, mind you, I'm married and I have three young children at the time. So I have to take care of, as well as I want to be part of the search. But I can't neglect my family to, put all my time into search. My father was so consumed with it that he didn't really pay attention to us. I didn't feel like he appreciated those of us that were still here. And that's what it taught me, that the people that are still here in your life, you need to love and hug and appreciate the ones that have moved on, passed on. Yes, they're still in your life. You have to pay attention because they are, but you're still here. You have a job to do, and you need to make sure you love and let the people around you know that you love them.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Cynthia Young Fackrell with us. Gravity's Embrace, True Unsolved Mystery Surrounding an Alaskan Pilot. What's Alaska like?
Alaska is majestic and magical. There's just no place like it. I don't know. It's almost, you almost can't say. There's almost not words good enough for it. So it's just gorgeous.
Is it big?
It's huge. Yeah. There was always a joke up there about you can fit like two Texases because they're always, Texas is always talking how big they are.
Sure.
So
now what are you trying to accomplish with this book?
Well, I want the story out. My brother died young. I in 2005, when my father passed away, I found my brother's journals, and I started reading them. And then when I started writing the book, I oh, I got to put his journal entries in there. So it's his story, my story, and my father's journal entries are in there as well. So it's all of our stories, but it's also, I don't know how to explain it more than I have to tell the story. The world needs to hear it. And part of it is the story, the Alaskan adventure, you know, what, and somebody gone missing. And the other part of it is the goodbyes lead to new hellos, you know, so living with death.
Right. And when we take a look at what lessons does this play for your children?
You know, I've discussed that with them, and it's hard for them. They lived through it, but they were pretty young, and he was their favorite uncle. So it was difficult at the time, and I think it still is. They miss him. But, geez, I don't know. I think it's just a lesson for them in our family. Again, like I go back to loving one another and cherishing the time that we have here with each other.
We don't really appreciate that till it's over, do we?
No, because you don't think it's going to happen to you. Nobody thinks that, you know, you could walk out today and, you know, that's the thing I live with every day, that anytime I send somebody out the front door, they may not come back in.
At 580K IDO, for people listening right now, you know, involved in their lives, they're invulnerable. What would you say to them to reinforce that message?
I think that you need to stop and slow down. There's so much right now, at least what I'm reading and seeing, is you have to live in the now. We get so caught up in the future and what we got to do to, even myself trying to promote my book, it's like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's my agenda and what things am I doing? And I have to pull myself back into what am I doing right this minute, right now, is important. And that's when you're living. You're living right now. You're not living 2 hours from now. You're living right now. You have to enjoy the time and appreciate right now.
What was it like for you to get closure?
You know, it was really interesting because we were on vacation, and we'd had some friends stop us and make us stay overnight in Anchorage. And my father was back in where we lived and was going to our house and doing laundry and stuff. And I was going to call him every night because this was before the age of cell phones. So I called him up, and I was talking to him on the phone, and there was a knock on my front door at where my father was, and it was the SPs coming to tell us that they'd found my brother. So the first question out of my mouth was, is he alive? Because I was dead set that that's what was going to happen. So the police officer, SP, had to say, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, he isn't. And I wasn't upset. I think I was happy that he had been found, because the unknowing is worse than having them found, to know where they are, to have the answers. I think you would rather, I don't want to say that you would rather have them dead, but you would rather know. You would rather know that they have passed on than never knowing what happened to them.
What do you expect is going on in the minds of those people with the Malaysian airliners, the family members?
Well, they want answers. And right now, what they're doing now is sending everybody home. They're saying, don't stay here. We'll let you know when we find something out. But they want to know. And it's hard to leave. If somebody told me I had to move away from Alaska in the middle of all that, I would have been like, no way. I'll do whatever I have to do to stay here to find out. And I'm sure that's how they feel. They don't want to just go home and continue on with their lives, even though that's part of what they have to do. But they want to stay, I guess, probably as close to wherever it was that those people last were, until they get their answers. And I don't think that it doesn't matter whether you're Malaysian or Chinese or American. I think the feelings are, you know, human wide.
Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Just my message that I'd like it out that, you know, people need to enjoy life, love life, and when tragedies happen, you look for the little lights within it, because there are positives, there are miracles that are leading you on your path to do whatever it is you need to do. And it doesn't mean you won't grieve and go through hard times, but within those hard times, you're going to meet new people and new things are going to happen, and life is still going to be good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
And again, if people want the book, the title of the book and where they can get it.
Gravity's Embrace. It is on my website at www.gravitiesembrace.com, as well as you can get it on Amazon, or you can find me. If you find me, I carry them around in my car.
All right. Well, watch out for Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
All right, 580 KIDO, thank you for starting your day with us on this Monday. Chance of showers. You'll hear from Larry Gebert coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Dave Burnett with us now. Dave, anything big going on this weekend for you?
Well, it was a huge weekend. Lots of activities, lots of things to see and do. You had Labaugh Park opening up, huge crowd out for that. You had the Steelheads, they're coming home tonight for a playoff game. You had a Boise guy, Brian Scott, sitting on the pole at Talladega, which was a first. As a rookie sitting on the pole at Talladega, it was just a big, big weekend. Lots of activities, lots of stuff going on.
Well, what did you do?
For me, let's see, Friday, I was at a high school track meet on Friday. Saturday, I was invited to a barbecue over at one of the big boss's houses from here, invited over to a barbecue and did that. Had some other activities going on Saturday. Sunday, it was race day, and monitoring and taking track of, you know, taking care of the race and then working around the yard.
All right. Well, thanks for asking what I did. So
you didn't give me a chance yet.
What I did this weekend.
What did you do, Kevin?
You know, I had a wonderful time with our friends from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. They had their annual festival. They hope to make it a yearly thing. And really, it benefits the homeless, the people that need food here in the Treasure Valley. And I want to thank Rob from Team Mazda Subaru. He worked out a deal that somebody won a car, and at the end of it, we did a reverse raffle. So I had to read over 300 names, and then afterwards, they had a choice between getting $1,500 or being one of 10 to win a new Mazda 3. So if you were one of these folks that had a chance to win a new car, one in 10 chance, or take the $1,500, what would you do?
Maybe the car.
Maybe the car.
Yeah.
So you would take a chance on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I go in with nothing. We'll see what I come out with.
So you wouldn't take the $1,500?
Well, maybe both. Could I do both?
No.
No.
Can't do both.
Cash would be good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a decision. That would be a last-minute impulse decision.
Well, I would take the cash, which is what the young lady did. And she won $1,500. Everybody won $1,500. So it was nice to see. And I really love these nonprofit groups. And when we look for a source of inspiration in our world today, when people say, Kevin, you know, it's the markets this, it's Benghazi that, it's a lot of bad news. And I said, well, of course, that's what the other side wants. They want to flood you with things. So you just say enough of it just to tune out. But when you have people, regardless of whatever nonprofit you do, that do these things and do it with such big hearts, and some of them actually pay for things out of their own pocket, it shows you that there is hope in the world today. And by the way, to Gene, who said something very nice to us the other day on Saturday morning, I really appreciate you listening, and thank you for listening to George Norrie, and of course for starting your day with us. But it really comes down to, you know, people giving when you're looking for a source of inspiration, Dave.
Well, you know, there are, that's one thing with the Treasure Valley. There's a lot of giving companies and individuals in the Treasure Valley. There truly is. You had the gives back the other day and a lot of good things that happened there. And there just is. There's a lot of people willing to open their pockets and help.
Right. Now, I'd like to ask you a question at 580K.
All right. Will I be chastised when I give the answer?
Yes.
Because that happens a lot.
Yes. And then Alaska Ray will chastise me. So it's,
well, he's from Alaska.
It's all in a circle, if you will. But let me just say this. When you do something good, how appropriate is it to take credit for it?
None. Like, you shouldn't. None.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something here that's going to, well, you're not going to hear it anywhere else in the Treasure Valley. In fact, you're not going to hear it on the radio anywhere else because I think I'm the only one that does this shtick. But I, you know, the whole Idaho Gives Day. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a big deal.
I just mentioned it. Remember?
No.
I just mentioned it 2 minutes ago.
No, my mind was on Brian Scott and Talladega. That's just the. I mean, it's.
But it's good to have you listening to me, Kevin. That's good.
No, but.
No, really, I mean it. That's great.
From now, that's a good smack. Now that is there. There's a bell for that one. Yes, that's a rightful smack on me. Which they all are. But at 580KIDO, I was just sitting there watching this thing, and people try so hard to emulate success instead of carving stuff out for themselves. And what I'm saying is, look, our great friends at Channel 7, they do a wonderful job. I love Channel 7. They don't pay me to say it. It's just what I truly believe. I think that they do a wonderful job, and they're certainly very dedicated. And you have the two little dwarves that do their very best to try and be like Channel 7, you know, whether it's we're looking out for whose side you're on or what have you. So you have Channel 5 Plus 1 running this thing where they have all three people on there with the Idaho Gives lady. Have you seen this promo at all?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you and I are one of the two people that watch Channel 6. So they're going, hey, isn't this great? Look at all the money we raised, and we did it with our company. It was great. And I'm thinking to myself, I understand the intent, but it was such the wrong way to go. And all during Idaho Gives, because I watch all the TV channels looking for local news, and all they kept talking about is, we're the official sponsor of Idaho Gives. We're the official. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if that's really appropriate. And then you have Channel 7, who really officially has nothing to do with it, but they covered it, and you thought that they were behind it. And I understand what Channel 5 Plus 1 is trying to do, but again, I found the promo insulting because, look, such and such broadcasting did this, and aren't we great and wonderful? And I'm going, why not just have the people saying thank you? You know, like when Channel 7 does KTVB Cares Day, what do? They thank the community. They didn't say because of Channel 7. They actually legitimately thank the community. You have people from, whether it's the Salvation Army, whether it's Jubilee House, whether it's the Boise Rescue Mission, whether it's the Idaho Food Bank, thanking people. Isn't that the spirit of it?
I would think so. I understand as a business what you're trying to do. It's just sometimes difficult to execute.
Yeah. But I mean, so you've seen the promo. Do I have a point here?
A little bit. I mean, it's not put together quite the way I would put it together. You know, I think when you do something and the community, because really all we are is a mouthpiece for the community to be able to work and do things through us. We can let them know about things, and then the community responds. And so the credit has to go to the community, no matter what it is you're doing.
Right.
And, you know, but yet you want to give yourself, that humble pat on the back to say, look, we're trying to make a difference in the community too. Sometimes the execution's not real good.
Yeah. And I mean, the goofiness that has gone on there. And I think that, wow, they have such an opportunity there at Channel 5 Plus 1, but they continue to whittle it away with the goofiness. And, hey, aren't we, no, you're not great. It's, man, it's the somebody that works two jobs and still donates. I mean, that's the beauty of Idaho Gives. But I digress. So that was just I kept looking at that going, man, there's just something wrong with that.
Interesting. But it was a big event, though, and it was good for the community. It truly was.
Yeah, and like I said, good for them. By the way, speaking of gratuitous moments, still not too late to vote for yours truly in the best of the Treasure Valley. Now, Dave, have you done what I've asked you to do and to go to Walmart, to go to Staples, and to vote on every computer for Kevin Miller in the morning?
I haven't had a chance yet. I figured I'd do that later. I'm going to stop by the library on my way home and start there.
Actually, we have an in at the library. I need to get that nitwit on it. Of course, he'll probably vote for Timmy in the morning.
Well,
but
now
anyway,
that you called him a nitwit.
Yeah, that's a term of endearment. By the way, here's something at 580 KIDO. We're still looking for a school this week, aren't we?
I think Ray was working on that.
Ray Amaya is diligently working on finding a school. I thought we had one, but they said, well, you can go do the internet from the bus. And I go, no, we're not doing the internet from the bus. We have to have an internet.
You're riding a bus around?
That's next. Kevin on a bus.
Nice.
Kevin on the walk, Kevin on the bike ride, Kevin in the kennel, Kevin in the school, Kevin at the homeless, Kevin on a bus. However, I don't know how many times people like Pat from Middleton have given me a hard time about, why don't you ever come to my kid's school, you little whatever, you little rascal? And now here's a chance. We're 3 or 4 days away, and if we don't get a school, it's going to be Kevin's classroom day, where I become a teacher again, and I'm going to teach for 4 hours.
Yikes.
Won't that be compelling stuff? And I'll talk about all the wrongs, and it'll be the reading of the grievances. That'll be good. Maybe we don't need a school for Thursday. It'll just be me reading my grievances with everybody, real and imaginary.
Closed circuit message to Ray Amaya. Get working on a school for Thursday. We don't want that. Okay, back to you, Kevin.
Well, no, I just think, and maybe we go to some of our best schools, and maybe we just contact the people directly, whether it's Eagle or whoever. And I understand it's tough and it's short notice. And my feelings are still hurt from the Boise schools bailing because of testing. That's what they're telling us.
Yeah, well, I talked to Amy at the school, at the Boise High School, the principal there, and talked to her at length for probably about 20 minutes. And she said there's a lot of stuff being canceled in Boise schools. They are trying to focus solely on testing, solely on their end results. They have a number of different things into your things that's happening. They're trying to focus in, so they're shedding off a lot of or I guess what you call extracurricular activities. It's not school sanctioned that they're shedding off, and we were one of the victims.
Well, did they apologize?
She did. She was very apologetic.
Yeah,
very nice.
That Amy from Boise High, she's the best.
Yep.
She really is. But everybody else, I'm struggling with this, Dave Burnett. Why are my feelings hurt from this?
I don't know. You shouldn't let your feelings be hurt.
Well, it's because we really get excited about promoting the schools. And I don't know about you at 580KIDO, but I was watching the television debate there with the four superintendent candidates, and one of them wasn't there. And I'm sorry, I just think that we do a better job. Here I go again. Well, radio in general does a better job with debates because, again, once again, it was that one channel I'm mentioning. And they're going, and we're doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're going to hear from... And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It just really didn't. Oh, there's our friend Jason from the Boise Rescue Mission. He's looking good in the morning.
Okay, focus on the show now.
No, I just go, well, that's good television. Larry and Jason there from the Boise Rescue Mission. However, and thank you for bringing me back. I'm thinking to myself, is this the best that we can do? And by the way, did you hear our interview with Tom Luna the other day?
Yes.
I mean, he was hurt that people wanted to talk to me and not him. And here's another one. And I'm sorry, let me apologize for being offensive. And Dave Burnett, feel free to smack me on this one. But I'm thinking to myself, is this the best that we can do to replace Tom Luna as these four Republicans? None of them seem larger than life. One of them kept going, hey, that's a good question. Hey, that's a good question, everybody. Hey, that's a good question. Then another one goes, well,
good question, though? Might have been a good question.
There were a lot of good questions, apparently. And I'm going, is this the best that we can do? And here's where I'm going to jump the shark. And only because, folks, we are so desperate for content on a Monday morning. Look, there's no one on the roads. Okay? So this is content. Tom Luna comes in and goes, blah, 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 blah. And I go, yeah, I got married. Oh, you got married. When did that happen? Oh, about 6 months ago. Thanks for listening. Oh, well, I've been, and I went to his press person. I go, well, she monitored. Huh? What? And I'm thinking, they don't even monitor the show of record here.
You got married?
But when people want to get their propaganda out, oh, they want to use us, but they don't support us. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck? And I was like offended by that. I'm going, you don't listen?
I was catching that Fox News there, and they were doing this Benghazi hearing.
Yeah, does that impact the classroom, buddy? And then the press person who came in late And Luna, I mean, I know it's an informal thing here. Mr. Luna is sitting there trying to give her work her headphones, and I finally go, hey, we're doing a radio show here. I mean, is it that informal that we just think that, do I set that type of place that you just come in and have a good time? People just walk in here unannounced?
I think they feel comfortable, evidently.
I mean, it's not like I'm the radio version of the Naked Cowboy.
What?
Exactly. So I'm sitting there going, okay, they don't listen to the program, whatever. Well, just, you know, and look, this is one thing I'll say about Governor Otter and about Senator Fulcher. They listen. Oh, I know they listen. And I'll tell you what, any other political folks that want to, and non-political folks that want to get somewhere, you need to listen. And you're going, what am I listening to? Exactly. However, at 580KIDO, you're not saving me for myself. Anyway, I'm just thinking to myself, you don't listen? You didn't know I was married? Everybody knows I was married. Oh, well,
boy.
I'd like to come back and
Did you have a bad weekend, Kevin?
No, I've been saving this up.
I'm thinking so. Your gas tank is full.
Well, it has to be. We got to, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, people depend on us for something. So when we have, I got nothing. Well, then, you know, you're in your car. Doesn't that drive you crazy? You're going, is there anything to listen to?
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
I do. But I got to do traffic, Kevin. I'm at that time. Traffic now.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
559, Kevin Miller in the morning. It happens all the time. Has it happened to you? What happens if you're hanging out in a parking lot, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, boom, somebody hits your car and hits the road? We'll talk about that next. 559, Kevin Miller, good morning.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.